Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Tuesday, October the 14th. Coming up, we hear about post problems in Snodland. Landlords of a village pub fear gasworks will ruin their Christmas trade, and a meeting's due to take place to talk about all those flags flying from lampposts right now. But first, a court's been told how a dog owner left the scene and then lied to police after her cockapoo seriously injured a young child. Three-year-old Bunny Skinley needed surgery after it happened on Mears Court Road in Raynham, not far from a primary school, back in June. Lucy joins me now with more on this story. Lucy, can you tell us exactly what happened?
Yes, well, Bunny's dad, Rowan Skinley, told Kent Online shortly after the attack that he'd been walking with his daughter when the small dog lunged at her. In court, the prosecutor described the moment the dog grabbed Bunny's right forearm and dragged her to the ground aggressively. She was bitten on the arm, leaving blood all over the pavement. Magistrates were then told how the defendant pulled the dog off with the lead before making off without leaving her details. Bunny had 7 or 8 teeth puncture wounds.
And how did police track down the owner?
Well, Bunny's dad was able to give a description of the dog's owner and what she was wearing at the time. Police put out an appeal for information, and following a tip-off, they visited the home of Tracy Inkpen. She initially denied being involved, but when officers showed her footage from the scene a witness had managed to capture, she admitted her pet Reggie had been the dog that caused the injury. Reggie was seized by officers and Inkpen was arrested, and during questioning, she admitted she'd previously taken the pet to a vet to be assessed over his behaviour. She was then charged with being in charge of a dog dangerously out of control, causing injury, and pleaded guilty at an earlier hearing.
And what sentence did she receive?
Well, the 50-year-old from Broadview Avenue was ordered to pay £1,500 in compensation and ordered to do 160 hours of unpaid work. Her defence team said she felt remorse after the incident and at the time had panicked. She thought she had control of the dog and made the decision to leave the area so as not to inflame the situation. Magistrates were also told Reggie has been muzzle trained. He must wear one at all times on a short lead and be walked by someone over the age of 18.
Lucy, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and an Eastmorling man has been sent to prison for carrying out a campaign of sexual abuse on a child. Lee Balchin also forced his young victim to consume drugs during the attacks, which happened between 2000 and 2004. The 55-year-old from Carnation Close denied any wrongdoing. He's been sentenced to 15 years. A Reform UK councillor at KCC has been suspended following allegations of misconduct. It's understood several female members of staff have complained about lewd remarks by Robert Ford, who represents Maidstone Rural West. He denies the accusations and says he's always made a point to treat everyone with respect. Now, figures out today show a slight drop in unemployment in Kent. 39,015 people were claiming out-of-work benefits in the county in August. That's down by 80 compared to the previous month. Residents of a street in Snodland are calling on the council to officially change the address to resolve mail delivery problems. Well, people living in Rayfield Court say their road is independent from neighbouring Willowside, but when their postcode is put into most search engines, it defaults to an address in Willowside. They say post is often delivered to the wrong house and it's caused them to miss vital letters and information. Now, Michael Tamplin has lived there since 2000. He says bailiffs even turned up at his house once and accused him of ignoring fines for not paying his DART charge.
When the bailiff came out, he deals with that, he should know better. But he said to us, we should pay our bills and stop ignoring the letters. That was his words to us. And that was £500. That was a £500 they wanted midway through November, just before Christmas. And they come and took it for £3 DART charge. Mm. And I phoned PCN, speak to their complaints people, explain to them, on the day I paid it, I thought it took both ways, and it didn't. You sent a letter out to the wrong address, because my address is wrong, and I didn't receive the letter. Then you send bailiffs out, and you're speaking to the complaints people, and they go, oh, this is really unfortunate. We're so sorry this has happened. if you fill out the forms, I'm sure you'll be reimbursed. We've been through two appeal procedures and they still won't give us our money back. That's what starts to destroy you and make your mental health go downhill because, you know, like I say, you've got the accident, you've got fines of dark charge. As soon as you say you never got a letter, oh, yeah, everyone says that, mate. You're just... Your credibility goes downhill as soon as you say, I never received no letters. Even if you're talking to the courts, they don't really care. I mean, I appeared in court and I told the judge that I had no... I told the judge that I had no paperwork for court and he went, well, how did you know to come here today? Not like, why is you... Well, can't we sort your address out? No one's interested in it. It's just left us like... They've left us.
Michael says they have complained to Tunbridge and Morling Borough Council over the years, but when the council sent out a survey to the 9 homes in Rayfield Court, only 3 responded, saying they wanted the address amended. 2 homes said no and 3 didn't respond. As a result, the council refused to make the changes unless all residents were in favour. Well, Marion Sanders has lived there since it was built in 1998.
It's just extremely aggravating. It is since we've lived here this long, and I've asked for them to drop Willowside from the name, and they won't.
You were one of those people that replied to the letter.
Yes, definitely.
What do you make of their reaction not to change it unless everybody agrees?
I think that that is very short-sighted, because everybody would benefit. In the long run, everybody would benefit.
What would you like the ideal outcome to be?
To change its name, just to be Rayfield Court. We're a road in our own right, the same as any other road. You know, they all say Willowside, and they all, you know, they're called Willowside. They're not called Willowside off of Rayfield Court, or, you know, we want our own identity. It is what we need. And what we should be entitled to. Everybody else has got their designated road and it doesn't say off of somewhere.
Both Michael and Marion were speaking there to our reporter Ellie Hodgson, and you can read her report in full by heading to Kent Online.
Kent Online reports.
A driver who crashed into a pub in Dungeness, causing £50,000 worth of damage, has avoided being sent to prison. Howard Sargent had been drinking when his Toyota Yaris collided with the Pilot Inn's restaurant in August. No one was injured and he walked away from the scene. The 54-year-old, who lives in Coast Drive in the town, was given a 28-month driving ban and has been told to do unpaid work and rehab. The parents of a Medway baby who died from a rare heart condition have paid tribute to their happy and smiley son. George Bevan from Raynham was born with hyperplastic syndrome, which means the left side of his heart was severely underdeveloped. He had surgery, which should have extended his life, but passed away when he was just 5 months old. His mum and dad have set up a fundraising page to help pay for funeral costs. Now, a Kent expert has told the Kent Online podcast the next few weeks and months will be crucial if peace is to remain in the Middle East. It's after US President Donald Trump was given a standing ovation yesterday in the Israeli parliament as he talked of a new dawn in the region. He said the long nightmare was finally over for Israelis and Palestinians after phase one of his Gaza peace plan was adopted. Well, I've been speaking to Dr. Sarah Lieberman, who's from Canterbury Christchurch University.
It's fantastic. Let's not underestimate this. I mean, it's not an easy thing to do at all. You know, to even have a short ceasefire in the Middle East is something fantastic. For Donald Trump himself, he's called it a great and beautiful day. He is very happy with this outcome. Whether it lasts is what we've got to wait and see. I don't know. Who knows, after 2 years of intense and violent and aggressive fighting and hostages taken by both sides and, you know, Israel being accused of genocide, to just end it is going to be a very difficult thing to do.
Obviously, Donald Trump has a very big job anyway as the president of the United States. Mm-hmm. How does he then keep an eye on what's going on here now he's brokered this deal?
Well, the United States, since the Second World War, has been the guarantor of security for the whole Western world, and since the end of the Cold War, really for the whole global system. So the president of the United States is almost expected by all other states to keep an eye on the security situation as it unfolds around the world. And if you remember back when Donald Trump was first elected and he came into office just in January this year, he said that he was going to end this conflict within a week. He was going to end the Russia-Ukraine conflict within days. And both these situations have continued until now. So Donald Trump has obviously had his eye on these situations since before he came back into office. But enacting peace is a very difficult thing to do. And as you say, they've had a lot of other things to do as well. But finally, it feels like Donald Trump has taken his role as the security guarantor for the world seriously. He's finally taking that role into account and enacting what states expect him to do.
Do you think anyone other than Donald Trump could have achieved what he has achieved?
Yes. It's a role of the President of the United States. It's not a role of one individual to do that. Donald Trump is the President of the United States of America, the global hegemon, the security guarantor. And it is that role, that institution, that historical position that he holds that has the power to do that. Donald Trump as businessman, Donald Trump as golf club owner isn't able to broker peace between warring states, but the president of the USA can. And that's the difference. It's not something personal that he has done. It is a role that is held by the president of America. I mean, Trump wanted to win the Nobel Peace Prize for this. We've got to remember Trump has been straight out asked for the Nobel Peace Prize for this. And I think he was slightly late for it this year. But again, we're going to come up against this question of whether do you get the Nobel Peace Prize for doing your job, for brokering peace when you're the president of the USA? Maybe you do, but he hasn't got it this year. It came in a bit late. And also, I was asked earlier about whether his approval will have gone up due to this. And that's a very interesting question, because at the moment in the USA, his popularity has actually dropped slightly because they've got domestic politics happening at the same time. They have a government shutdown. The budget hasn't stretched to paying all government workers. And Donald Trump personally is being blamed by a lot of the population in the US. So you have what looks like quite big successes on the international stage at the same time as difficulties domestically, and a lot of people still asking for the release of the Epstein files. And it's almost, those things are bubbling away in the background, which means that he's not making the strides forward in popularity and approval ratings that he might have expected on the back of this peace deal. So for Donald Trump personally, yes, it's a big day today, but also he's still got a lot to deal with. This isn't the sole part of his job.
Kent Online reports.
A debate's being held in Parliament today about the benefits of returning international rail services to Ashford. Eurostar trains haven't stopped in Kent since the pandemic, but there are now plans for other operators to use the route. Hastings and Rye MP Helena Dollimore is among those backing a petition to restore services here in the county.
One of my own earliest memories when I was about 5 years old is boarding the Eurostar to France from Ashford International. And I loved going on what I then called the yellow-nosed train and having a whole continent on our doorstep.
A woman's died after collapsing outside a cinema in Canterbury. Emergency crews were called to the Riverside Leisure Complex in Kingsmead Road last Friday morning. A cordon was put in place near the Curzon Cinema. Now the ambulance service has confirmed a woman passed away at the scene. Details have emerged of how a Russian submarine was tracked by the Royal Navy as it made its way through the English Channel last week. The vessel was spotted near the French coast on Tuesday and was followed by HMS Iron Duke during a three-day journey to the North Sea. We're told it's part of the government's ongoing commitment to safeguard the integrity of UK waters. The landlords of a village pub near Faversham fear their trade will be hit at the busiest time of the year because the road it's on is due to shut for gasworks. Headhill Road links Graveney and Goodnestone to Faversham and the Thanet Way, but it's due to close from October the 20th until just days before Christmas to replace old pipes. Chris and Katrina Gota run the Four Horseshoes.
It's obviously new business to us, new business to the area. We think, you know, we're doing quite well, the business is progressing, but I think the gas pipeline is going to be
majorly detrimental
to what we're going to do. Not only just for the busiest period of our year, but for going that, you know, we're not going to be able to, you know, get the repeat trade coming back because we haven't got them at the busiest period where we should be taking in the most trade. And a lot of our trade is passing trade. So if it's not passing, we're not gaining the
especially
trade.
Especially on a Sunday, isn't it? Like Sunday is full on passing trade. Yeah. We get a few regulars that come back in time after time, but a lot of it is passing trade. Mm. So I say they shut that road, which, yes, they've got to do it, I understand that. But that is going to affect our Sunday trade, which is our busiest day of the week, let alone the Christmas trade that, you know, as I said, we've already had people cancel on us because they don't want to go down Monk's Hill because of the traffic, the small lanes, they don't feel comfortable driving down there. So, you know, we're just at a loss of what to do, aren't we?
And hopefully, you know, we sort of got the village behind us, and their support's been amazing so far. And you know, I think that they probably will help get us through. But it's still, we shouldn't be getting through. We shouldn't be just surviving. We're here to run a business. We're here to make it work. And you know, this is not helping majorly.
On the letter that we received, it said the 20th of October for 9 to 10 weeks. So if it's 9 weeks, it's the 24th. The 23rd or the 24th of December, 10 weeks is the 27th of December. So again, you know, either of them dates are still no
right
good for us.
Christmas, yeah.
Because again, yes, okay, if they stop on the 23rd or 24th, then the people we've got booked in for Christmas Day that have stayed with us, they will be able to get to us easier. Mm. If it's the 27th, we've lost... Yeah. All that. Do you know what I mean?
And so, the road signs that they've put up in the last day or two, again, they're saying 8 weeks. So,
yeah, which they haven't
eight,
put
nine,
on the letters that
weeks,
they've sent
which
us.
Is it.
So it's, you know, 8, 9, 10. I don't think they know.
And did they always run on time? I'm not too sure about that. So.
Now, it has been suggested the work is delayed, but SGN say it's already been pushed back following requests by local farmers and business owners. The company have told us they recognise roadworks can be frustrating, but will be doing all they can to minimise disruption.
Kent Online News.
It's feared plans for a new cafe could destroy a unique corner of the Kent coast. Designs have been submitted for a two-storey building at Walpole Bay in Margate, along with a separate community space in a converted shipping container. Several swimmers have said they don't want the peaceful spot to be developed and monetized, though. Others argue it would add to the visitor experience. It looks like plans to build a third battery energy storage system in a village near Dartford could be rejected. The facilities are used to hold electricity from solar and wind farms when it isn't needed for the grid. The company called Clearstone Energy wants to build a £200 million site on farmland off Station Road in Southfleet, but it's been recommended for refusal by council bosses who are worried about damaging the rural area. There's going to be a meeting in Medway tonight to discuss all of those flags that are currently being flown from lampposts. St George crosses and Union flags have been displayed as part of the Raise the Colours campaign, which started back in the summer. Now, some say it's patriotic. Others fear it's being done to intimidate people from different countries. I've been chatting to Reverend Nathan Watt. He's the vicar of St Margaret's Church in Raynham, where the meeting is happening.
These sorts of meetings should be held up and down the country. I think we fail as a society when we don't come together and talk about these things. And one of the questions was in my head was, well, if we don't start talking about this now, at what point do we start talking about it? Do we start talking about it after riots, after protests and things like that? Well, actually, now we've got an opportunity to go, okay, what is it that's happening? and let's talk about that stuff and see where we stand so that we can have informed decisions moving forward, so that our conversations aren't held in isolation, but we can say, well, actually, I think this, but I do understand that my neighbour thinks something else. And so, how do we learn to live together, with opposing views? I think the media have a really important role to play in what narratives do we get fed through social media, through newspapers, through radio, through television, and how do we ensure that they represent the breadth of views within our community so that it's more balanced, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. A very difficult one, believe you me, at the
Yeah.
moment. Tell us when the meeting is, Nathan, and who can come along, and just give us all the info as to what's going
Yeah.
when it's going on.
So the meeting's at St Margaret's Church at 7 o'clock on Tuesday, the 14th of October, and it's open to everyone. We want it to be a safe space. I understand that people from global majority cultures might find it difficult, but I strongly encourage you to come. We are going to make it a good space. We're going to encourage everyone to talk from the position of I, not we or us. And we'll have cups of tea and biscuits as well. And I think some people have not complained, but questioned why is it happening in a church, for example? Aren't we stupid? Actually, the church is a place of dialogue and it's a very natural place to come and talk about these issues.
Dover Library is set to return to its permanent home 2 years after refurb work first started there. It's been operating out of a temporary home at the Gateway Building in Castle Street. The revamped Discovery Centre Library in Market Square will open again on October the 27th. And a new cafe has opened in Folkestone following a meeting between two friends in a local pub. Ricky Pluskowski and George Donno had got together for a chat in the Golden Arrow and noticed a gap in the market at the Golden Valley Shopping Centre. They converted a unit into roast and toast, which has already attracted steady custom.
Kent Online Sport.
Football First Up and Gillingham have been drawn away to fellow League Two side Newport County in the first round of the FA Cup. Ebbsfleet United will also be away at Grimsby Town, and Chatham Town, who've reached this stage of the competition for the first time in 97 years, will travel to take on Buxton. Matches will be played on the first weekend of November. And in cricket, homegrown seam bowler Jaz Singh has signed a new contract with Kent. The 23-year-old suffered an ankle injury after a promising start to the season earlier this year. He's agreed a deal to stay at the club until at least the end of the summer of 2027. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the site, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.